A while back, I asked my Twitter followers if they knew the difference between the chairman of a company and the CEO. I was a little surprised when over 48% said they did not. So in this video, I'm going to rectify that. Meet Dave. He has long had this idea that there's a gap in the market for children's toys. He's enthusiastic about dinosaurs and specifically the Brachiosaurus. He thinks that there's money to be made here. If only there was a product like this, I am sure people would buy it, he says. But Dave is not a rich man himself. He does not have a huge number of assets, and certainly not enough to start industrial-scale production of dinosaur toys. And so, Dave sets about attracting capital from venture capitalists and applies for a business loan from the bank. He is able to gain backers and to get the loan, and this money becomes his startup capital. Dave has become the founder of Brachiosaurus Toys Inc. Now he sets about spending and converting his startup funds into the assets he requires to set up the operations of his new venture. He acquires land by buying a factory. He acquires labor by hiring workers and managers. He acquires fixed capital in the form of equipment for the factory and capital goods in the form of oil and whatever else it is that you need to make plastic toys. At this juncture, there needs to be some serious operational organization in this company. Dave needs to appoint an executive team, sometimes also called a leadership team, to manage these operations. And the top and most senior person in such a structure is called the CEO. If you like the content on this channel, sign up for a course on the Academic Agency. I'm now offering Foundations of Economics. Click on the link in the show description and level up your econ knowledge. Now, in many cases, the founder, in our example, Dave Jones here, takes the seemingly natural step of appointing themselves as the CEO as well. So Dave Jones becomes the CEO of Brachiosaurus Inc. But this is not necessarily the case. For whatever reason, Dave Jones might decide he's not the right person to lead this company, even though it was his idea. So he appoints Peter Smith to be the CEO instead, while retaining ownership of the company. In this situation, Peter Smith would be in direct charge of the company, while Dave Jones, as the owner, would be able to fire and replace Smith as he saw fit. I think you can see here why this situation, while not entirely unheard of, is nonetheless quite rare. Anyway, it does not really matter who is the CEO for our purposes. Let's pretend it's Dave Jones, and he steers the company to record growth. He's making a real success of this dinosaur toy business, and the company is on the up and up. However, to make it really big, to step up to the next level, Jones needs to expand his operations. He needs a big injection of cash way beyond the company's means to open up several new factories in China and India. Well, now Brachiosaurus Inc. is big enough to issue an IPO. That's an initial public offering by hiring the services of an investment bank, who then sell these shares on the stock market. Brachiosaurus Inc. has been valued at $200 million, and the owner and CEO, Dave Jones, wishes to keep hold of 50% of these shares. So he keeps 10 million shares for himself and issues the rest at $10 each through the investment bank. These are promptly bought up by the market, both by what are called retail investors, that's simply individuals buying shares themselves through a stockbroker, and institutional investors, which are wealth management firms buying assets for their portfolios on behalf of their clients. When individuals buy shares like this, they become shareholders to the company. When institutional investors do it, the companies themselves become shareholders. From this moment on, Brachiosaurus Inc. must hold annual meetings in which the company, typically but not always through the CEO himself, reports their annual performance to the shareholders. At this meeting also, there are typically elections held to vote in directors onto the board of directors. The potential directors would have been invited or nominated to sit on the board, and the shareholders then vote to ratify the election. The board of directors is there to ensure the company is accountable to its shareholders, that the company is being run within the corporate governance guidelines, that everything is above board and legal, and that it is functioning as well as it possibly can be, again, in the interests of the shareholders. The directors can be independent, and if they are, they are often called non-executive directors, which means that they are not employees of the company. Or directors can be employees of the company, typically holding senior positions at C-level, you know, chief technology officer or chief finance officer. It is considered best practice for directors to be independent and not employees. The board can also set or review the CEO's pay, and in some cases, hire and fire the CEO. It is also responsible for reviewing its own makeup and recruiting new directors to be ratified at the annual shareholder meeting by election. The board of directors will meet a few times a year, typically anywhere between 3 and 15 times. Note that if the directors are independent, which is to say not employees of the company, they will be paid a compensation sum for this work. It is not unusual for a director to receive, say, $60,000 for the year, in effect to attend 5 meetings. Nice work if you can get it, eh? Directors on the board will also sit on a number of committees that oversee the governance of the company. The audit committee, which ensures the financials are above board. The compensation committee, which deals with executive pay and benefit packages. And the nominating and corporate governance committee, which reviews the makeup of the board and recruits new directors for election if need be. The chair of each of these boards will likely receive a nice stipend, let's say $10,000, $15,000 for their work, which again is a few meetings a year. Now, the chairman of the board is the one who receives the reports from these various committees and who chairs the main meetings of the board of directors throughout the year. Now, to make matters super confusing for you, the CEO and the chairman can actually be the same person. In our case, Dave Jones, the CEO of Brachiosaurus Inc., can also put himself on the board of directors and act as the chairman. Hence, Dave Jones would be the CEO and chairman of Brachiosaurus Inc. But it is considered best practice for the two roles to be occupied by different people. So let's say an independent director, Paul Jackson, is appointed to be chairman of the board instead. Now, in practice, one can see why the CEO might not want there to be a separate chairman, because the board might then elect to give itself the power to hire and fire the CEO, while there is much less risk of this happening if the CEO is right there sitting at the head of the board. In America, it is quite common, therefore, for the CEO and the chairman to be the same person. A very good example of this is Vince McMahon of the WWE. Anyone who knows anything about Vince McMahon knows that he's not going to give up any power in his company willingly. However, in Europe and here in the UK, it is more common for them to be separate people. A pretty good example is the Virgin Group, where the CEO is Josh Bayliss, the chairman is a guy called Peter Norris, and the man that you've all heard of, Richard Branson, doesn't seem to have any official position at all, but is listed everywhere simply as founder. So hopefully now you will all have a better understanding of what these titles mean. Now, before we finish, my good buddy Nathan Hood has a special announcement.
Recently, my friend the academic agent has created a new online course entitled The Foundations of Economics. This promises to be a fantastic and thorough primer in the basics of economics, which will be accessible and advantageous to both beginners and seasoned experts. There will be many who would love to take such a course and for whom it could be an important stepping stone in their intellectual development, but are unable to in such times of present financial hardship. For this reason, I would like to offer one person the chance to take this course with all their fees paid. To have a chance of winning this scholarship, you will need to write 200 words on how taking this course will benefit you, and a 1500-word essay on any area of philosophy, theology, politics, or history. The best combination of the two will be awarded the scholarship in due course. Please submit by the 19th of October 2020. You can ask for my email address via Twitter. I really look forward to reading your applications soon.
If you like the content on this channel, sign up for a course on the Academic Agency. I'm now offering Foundations of Economics. Click on the link in the show description and level up your econ knowledge. Be sure to like this video and subscribe. And if you really like my content, maybe consider joining the channel or donating or maybe even buy a mug. I am grateful for all of your support. Now get out.